In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Again, when I prayed this gospel inside myself, I was smiling because I've been a priest for quite a while now, at least it seems like quite a while, and yet in reading the exposition that I have read thoroughly for years, I've had these books since 1980, and read them every season, but it just, something will start to make itself available to my heart in a way that it just never was before. And it may be obvious to all of you, but this will just show you that in the life of anyone, you know, the spiritual life is like looking at a mosaic, and the tiles come on as they come on. You know, an artist may start at the center or may start at the margins of whatever work it is that he is going to produce. And you don't know, because you are not in control of that. And I have some synergism with the Lord. It means I'm working with the Lord in cooperation for my own salvation. But he, of course, is the one who puts in 99% and I put in my 1%. So I don't know why certain things will all of a sudden have meaning when, having, as I have said, read this for more than 30 years, didn't have previously, or at least in the same manner. And I wish to talk to you about blindness, because it said that Jesus told the man, "For judgment I have come into the world, that those who do not see may see." Now that sounds grand. That sounds grand. That sounds like a great and marvelous thing, to bring light to those who previously were in darkness. But then this is a little troubling, and that those who see may be made blind. And why is that? Why did Jesus come into the world so that those who do see may be made blind? Well, there are two things that struck me over the course of reading this years and years and years, and that is, what are your eyes looking at? What are your eyes looking at? You know, it's a shame that in our generation that the internet has opened up such doors to evil, incredible evil. And you can just with a... It's why I don't have internet, if you want to know. I do not have internet. I haven't had it since about 1980. And it is for this reason. It's too easy for evil to come into your home. And in 1980, there were no filters. And even now, filters can be overridden, or if you know your own password to the filters, you can just undo. But evil comes into your home through the internet in a way. You know, you might be ashamed to go into an adult bookstore and to purchase something. As a matter of fact, there was a place at the border of the city in which I lived where they had for a time an adult bookstore. It finally was driven out of business by the city fathers. But anytime my friends and I would drive by this place, if there was anybody even remotely near it, we would honk our horns as loud as we could and go, "Hey, how you doing?" like that. So as though if this were a customer or a potential customer, he would be embarrassed to the core. But see, there's no shame that attaches to the evil that comes into your home privately. There's no shame. And where shame doesn't exist, all you have is permissiveness. If you're not ashamed of your sin, you won't confess it. If you're not ashamed that you have disgusted God, you won't say anything. You'll dismiss it. You'll say, everybody else does it. I'm always amazed when people don't confess. I'm always amazed. Living with dirt that you wouldn't tolerate in your home, but you will tolerate inside yourself. Dirt. Ugliness. But this type of evil in our generation is more pernicious. People, I'm going to move on rather quickly. People use the internet to recruit people to ISIS. People use the internet to recruit people for all kinds of hate groups and racist groups. And the racist groups are not all white. They're not all white. There's a used to be a champion of the world in MMA, and he has written across his chest, brown power. What do you mean brown power? Because he's just so pleased he's a Mexican. Right? I went through the brown berets. You know, it was an East LA movement. I knew who they claimed to be a martyr for their cause, Ruben Salazar. They have a park named after him now, because during the rioting, this reporter was killed. You know? And of course, me being not too bright, wherever there was rioting, I wanted to be there. I saw the Watts riots. Anytime there's been anything that was remotely disgusting, I wanted to view it. That's why the internet for me is so bad, because I just have a curiosity about things, and I will look at every single thing that is aberrant simply because I wish to know about it. Not because I'm attracted to it, mind you, but in a perverse and intellectual way, yes, the attraction exists. Otherwise, I wouldn't care. But it's why since 1980 I haven't had a computer. I decided it was bad for me. You know, there are books in the library that they used to keep under lock and key. Lock and key. You couldn't get some books in the library unless you signed for them as an adult. Signed it out. Not in a regular way you checked it out, but they made a point of putting your name down as the person who checked out this book, and every other person who checked out that book could see your name was one of those. And again, it was to establish shame. You know, gentlemen's magazines come through the mail in a brown wrapper. And you can get personal items of a discreet nature covered with brown wrapper. The brown wrapper is because there's shame attached. Because if it said, you know, what was inside, the postman and everybody else would be going, oh yeah, there's the house where that stuff happens. And people would feel fear from their neighbors. But now, you see, if the Lord brings blindness to people who use their eyes for things like that, He does every one a service. But think about blindness for a while. What do you know about blindness? I remember it was one of the big sensitivity things that we did in the 60s was everybody was going to walk in everybody's shoes for a mile, right? That, I don't know if you know, walk a mile in my shoes, walk a mile, it's a lyric from a rock and roll song. But the point is, for a while, one day, it was my turn to walk around the campus blind. So they put cotton over your eyes, and then they put a scarf around your head so you can't see. And now the campus that you know very well, you know where everything is, you have to find as a blind person. You have to be accommodated by the courtesy of strangers. Someone's going to take your arm, or you're going to take their arm. Actually, you take their elbow. They lead, and you hope they're paying attention to all kinds of things, because You can't see. What happens quite normally is that, and you can prove this to yourself, you become aware of certain senses. Find a wall that you can walk into. Stand back about 10 feet and walk toward the wall slowly with your eyes closed. You won't hit the wall. You will feel the presence of the wall coming up. Not because you know spatially that in 10 feet there's a wall. You will feel it. I don't know what this is attributed to, but I know it's a fact, and you can take me up on this. I'd rather you do it at home in case you're just one of those rare people that doesn't have this gift and you knock yourself out. For the liability of the church, it's better for me. Yeah, the priest made me do it. I want you to, however, experience that your senses become more acute when blindness ensues. When you lose your sight, irrespective of age or time or cause, your senses become more acute. You smell things more acutely. You hear things way more acutely. You feel things. There's lots of things. You know, when you walk, the ground itself will give you a lot of information. But since you can see, you don't use the information that comes up from the soles of your feet. You just look and you know what it's going to feel like before your feet touch that. And so it's a redundant system. Your eyes are taking over. So if you are walking barefoot on the sand and then there's a grassy knoll, you know, like at Santa Monica, you go upstairs and there's grass along the corniche, you feel nothing. I'm walking on grass. It's something that you understand, but you don't feel it. All these feelings are heightened with a blind person. Now I want to ask you this. Remember when, after being asked three separate times, the blind man says to the Pharisees, "Do you want to be his disciple? Why are you asking me again? You want to be his disciple? Be his disciple? We are Moses' disciples. We know that Moses spoke to God and God spoke to Moses." How did they know? How did they know? How did the Pharisees know that God spoke to Moses? How many of you know that God speaks to me? Well, number one, I don't know that God speaks to me. He may, but I don't think I listen. So if God's speaking to me, "Lord, I'm addressing this to you right now, speak louder." But in the case of the Pharisees, what were they saying? "We trust in our hearing like the blind people, not in our sight." Because Jesus stood before them and their eyes did not perceive. They had heard, passed from father to father to father to father to father, meaning the heads who were teaching. And all of the fathers in line spoke of the testimony of Moses. And they had the scripture besides. So they heard, just like I'm telling you things now and you are hearing them rather than seeing them. You are hearing things. So they were indeed blind, weren't they? Here is Jesus before them, the fulfillment. But they had trusted so long in hearing, they didn't know how to use their eyes. Just as I have said, if you walk barefoot and you perceive with your eyes what you are going to be walking on before you walk on it, you adjust mentally in your mind, and that information that comes across you have already understood, and therefore the transmission of information from your feet up to your brain is bypassed because the eyes are much closer. Now, if you have a small dog, as I do, the dog sometimes chews his little chew things incompletely. And there will be a little shard of something really hard, really, really hard on the ground and pointy. And when I step upon this on the shag rug, my eyes did not perceive it. So guess what? The feet tell the brain immediately, hop. And I hop. Because to continue to put weight on this thing is going to cause my flesh to be penetrated by this little sharp object that the dog has left desiccating in the air maybe overnight. For him a treat, but for me a problem. You see, when you don't see, you feel. When you do feel, you have a better chance of apprehending the truth. Why? Because the eyes are full of deceit. This is why the Pharisees, when they wanted to show forth their spirituality, it wasn't by action. It was by dressing in a certain way, by having their face to be filled with scowling to show that they were suffering for the sake of God. They weren't doing the things that were more subtle to be understood by a person who's empathetic or has a great sense of what spirituality really is. They looked for the artificial trappings. And sometimes when you look at a priest, you will see some guy in a robe and you will think certain things about the priest. Well, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. The only thing you should think about is that he has the power to conduct services within the institution called the church. That's it. He has the power to conduct services within the church. He can marry, he can baptize, he can perform other rituals, and he has the authority to do so by the power of the church, and these rituals that he performs are legitimate. But to then go further and say anything about the priest, that's ridiculous. There's one priest that I knew of, Tsuni Therese from St. Mary's Church can tell you this. There was a man who was a priest that she knew that had illegitimate relations with young girls in his church. This man was a predator dressed as a priest. Remember what the Lord warned? A wolf in sheep's clothing. Remember that? So don't think anything good about a priest or a bishop or a deacon or anything. They just have authority. It's like the police. There are police that would lay down their life for you in a minute. And there are the other police that will take your life in a minute. And unless you know the character of those people, when you are pulled over by the police, my advice to you is to be absolutely and perfectly polite and to do every single thing that they ask immediately. And to not answer back with any smart answer, no matter how frustrated you may be or how illegitimate you think it was that you were called into question. Don't do that. Don't do that. You don't know who you are talking to. And of course, you know, there were people hired from the LAPD that looked after Tupac Shakur. Yeah, they served as bodyguards. And they dressed like gangsters. They dressed like Suge Knight. These are words, names you don't know. Sorry. But real, Suge Knight was the head of Death Row Records. And Tupac Shakur, of course, a semi-famous rapper. I read in the Los Angeles Times, somebody wrote a little thing, Tupac spelled backwards as kaput. Kaput means dead. And of course, by that time, he was. Every time I see that, I think about that. And that's why women, when you name children, make sure that the name forward and backwards is okay. You don't want, you know, you're safe if you name your boy Otto. O-T-T-O, forwards and backwards the same. Well, look, blindness then is whether physically or spiritually, it is a reliance on some other set of criteria to get you through life. And I'm simply saying that that type of criteria may put you in better stead than using your eyes, because your eyes can be used for so much evil. Now, I could speak about many, many things, but I simply wanted to talk about blindness, because here is this man, he had the ability to do all kinds of things, all kinds of things. And what did he do? What was the first thing the man did? He went to go give thanks to God, the only God that he knew, the only way that he knew how. He went to the synagogue, and they threw him out. And then Jesus found him and said, I will show you how to worship. And what is written in here? As soon as he said those words to him, announcing who he was, the man worshipped Jesus. We should all do so. We who have both sight and hearing, we should do so completely. I heard a confession of somebody recently, and they said that they were angry with God about something. And I said, okay, I'm not going to accept your confession until after Holy Week. You have to go through Holy Week. And after you hear everything that God did for us, then you're going to come back and tell me about your anger toward God. See, I could have told the person, you are wrong, but I'm going to have them come back, and I'm going to listen to them tell me they were wrong. Because you cannot go through Holy Week and have a grudge against God. You cannot go through Holy Week and say that the rules that he has given us, that these rules are against us somehow, that they are not for us, that they are too hard to bear. Listen to what he did. Listen to all of the prophecies. Listen to the fulfillment in the Gospels. Listen to all of the songs of the church. And then, if you have a complaint about God, I'll listen. Glory be to his holy name, both now and ever, and unto the age of all ages. Amen.